Hi everyone, and welcome back to Video Gaming is Good. I'm your host, Darren, aka Ammo, and...
I'm Lee Sklozza.
Yes, that's my partner, and thanks for joining us on episode 8 of the show. Once again, we'd like to point out that we are not pros. We are probably the two ugliest people in the world making a podcast. I guess you could blame whoever invented podcasts for us.
Adam Curry.
Okay, that dude, whoever invented it, blame him for chucking to basically idiots on the internet, yeah. Who just want to talk about gaming and nothing else at the moment, basically. Once again, we are delayed. This time, it was my fault, not Lee's, my fault.
That makes the score, what, 7-1?
Something like that. Problem this time being was that I came down with food poisoning. I won't tell you the details about it, but it wasn't very pretty. Must have been maybe some meat and herbs I put together in World of Warcraft. Probably more than likely something I picked up at a local restaurant, which I shall remain nameless for law purposes, I guess. But, you know, thanks for sticking around with this. And I think, Lee, maybe from now on we should just delay every single episode we release.
I think that's a good idea. In fact, I think we should have a sliding release schedule, so the day it comes out on was the day it was supposed to come out on.
I guess we could do so, but you know, maybe because since we're all the way down here in Australia, by the time we actually do release it, it's on time up there in America or something like that.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, it sounds good for me. I don't know, but anyway, we'll carry on. First, we'd like to say thank you to Chris Judge 3 for putting a rather lengthy comment on last episode's show about re-asking the questions of whether you replay games, and his comment was rather long. I took a quick gander of it, and some games he replayed, and I've played them as well. I think one of them was Zelda on the Super Nintendo, something like that. You know, thanks for listening in and your comments. We really appreciate it. It's nice to know that we've got at least one person out there listening to us, so thank you very much.
Yeah, good effort, mate.
And we hope to hear again from you in the future. Okay, we'll go straight to the news. Well, sort of news, I guess, in a way. On to Lee.
Okay, this is an article called EA Response to Micropayment Talk by Dick McVengeance.
Great name.
Yeah, fantastic name. Anyway, Dick writes that EA is going to be offering micropayments in future games to unlock unlocks in the game. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, hammer down and beat that boss that takes 20 hours. You can just throw $5 EA's way and it's all done. No worries. EA says that they wanted to give players more options. Some people don't have the time to sit down and, you know, grind through a bunch of levels. They can just, you know, they might want to just zoom through it. Are they going to offer things like, you know, charging for the updated rosters? Apparently that's no. So if you're a sports game fan, then, you know, that's good for you, I guess. They say that they're not planning on going down the PS3 option where you have to cough up 300 clams to, you know, get everything, which, you know, is good because that would really suck. And, yeah, so that's that. I can't say I'm too pleased about the micropayment thing becoming a bit more prevalent because, well, I'm pretty broke, and plus I think it's a bit lame, you know? I can't be bothered unlocking that. Oh, I'll just fling $2.50 that way. Problem solved. Nah, stupid. How about yourself?
No, I don't know. Personally, I think of it similar on the lines of cheating. You know, you got the old story how if you can't do an assignment in high school or university or whatever, you pay someone or either the internet or whatever, and they'll do the hard work for you and get it done. I think it's just in the same way of, you know, trying to cheat the system is that you're not willing to do the work yourself to unlocking all the stuff. Yeah, I guess it's a similar way of saying it's a cop-out. Why would you buy a game if you don't plan to, you know, maybe spend the time or the effort to fully complete it? Look, I understand that not everyone can unlock everything in certain games. You know, that's just the way things are. But to pay money to get unlockable stuff, you know, I'd rather, you know, just give it off to a friend who I know can finish it. You know, for example, me, I'm sure I could unlock everything, you know, no matter what the game was. So
definitely,
you know, I got a mate who's, you know, he tells all his friends at work that I can basically do everything in the game, and they're amazed at it, apparently. So, you know, I'm a bit of a superstar, I guess, at his office. But, you know, back to the article. It's hard for me to say. If they offer it and people do want to take up an offer, you know, it's their choice, up to them. But personally, for myself, like, for me to truly, feel satisfied and content with the game, I do want to do everything fully by myself. You know, it's just, you know, you'll never get that satisfaction of fully finishing a game if someone else did it for you. So, I guess, I'm just, don't know what to say, but well, personally, I won't be part of it, I guess.
I'm also going to start up my own business selling clue bats to these morons with way too much money than sense, because they obviously need a good whacking with one.
Well, I guess you hit it on the bat on that note. We'll go on to
on
next.
To you.
On to me. Next article at the moment. The article is called Quest for Bedroom Gamers, and it just basically goes down. It's quite a bit of article. I'll just talk about it a bit, how it says games can cost millions of dollars to make nowadays, and if the games fail, it's, you know, millions of dollars down the drain for the publisher or whoever. But they're thinking, you know, how can we get new innovative titles and ideas into the community? And one way that they think they could do this is getting free software out there. And Microsoft has done this by releasing XNA Game Studio Express, which is a free development tool for the Xbox 360 aimed at hobbyists and students. And they have also teamed up with 10 universities in the US who will be adding it to their curricula. So this is basically Microsoft have released software that anyone can use to hone their gaming development skills and maybe, you know, get themselves noticed out there in the gaming world. I think this is an excellent idea for Microsoft. You know, once again, they've led the way. So thanks a lot, Mr. Bill Gates. And, you know, giving people the software to do certain things that they normally wouldn't be able to, I guess it's, it's a good step to get some unknown developers out into the world. I'm not sure what to say here myself. What are your thoughts on this, Lee?
Well, I mean, we got to remember and pay homage to Counter-Strike here. That's a game that was born out of a guy in, I think, Vancouver, tooling around with the Half-Life SDK, and that game's, in, you know, it's got a few players. It can't be too many, 8. But, you know, few people playing the old Counter-Strike, so, you know, that's, you know, there is skill in the bedroom programmer.
Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, I guess by really seeing the proper development tools, you know, whoever out there wants to, you know, test them out and maybe think, hey, I'm good at this, maybe I can, you know, send in like a certain resume or a little demo of my working to some game companies and get noticed. I'm sure you'll notice certain famous people out there in the gaming development who started this way. For once, I'm thinking of Cliffy B or Cliff Belinsky, yeah. I think, from the Unreal Tournament fame side of things, how he basically I don't know if he fully created himself, but, you know, he's basically one of the head guys of the series. And, you know, where would we be without, you know, people like that? We wouldn't have Unreal Tournament, and that's such an awesome game. That we all love that game.
It would be terrible not to have UT.
You're pressing some buttons over there, Lee, or something.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's okay, man. You can go ahead and push all the buttons you want.
Yeah.
but, yeah, this article, have a read of it if you're interested. We'll put the links for all the articles up there on the website afterwards. But, you know, another good side of the gaming media, I guess, in this world, when all the media is saying bad things about gaming at the moment. So, yeah, I think that's all we can say about that.
You can turn your hobby into a fortune.
Ooh, true. Okay, now, on to Lee for the next article.
Rightio. This is some sad news. The world's oldest competitive gamer dies. Her name was Doris Self. She passed away, aged 81. And according to the obituary, Doris gained notoriety in 83 when she achieved a world record score of 1,112,300 points in the classic game, Q-Bert. during the Twin Galaxies 1983 Video Game Masters Tournament. She got in the Guinness Book of Records. She got this title when she was 58, and the oldest person at that time to capture a title.
I guess it is sad for the gaming world, but what is Qubit? Do you know what Qubit is, Lee?
No.
Oh, well, it's a game, I guess, and it's in the Guinness World Records or whatever, but I hope when I'm 81, I'm still playing video games.
Yeah, I hope when I'm 81, I'm still cranking away too.
Yeah, you know, I might be playing on Xbox 3800, I don't know, whatever.
50 billion.
Yeah, 50 billion. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a new company called
Nintendo-ny.
Nintendo-ny. Very original, I guess. You never know. They might make one called Sclosa System or something like that.
That'd be a heap of junk.
you sure?
It'd be all over the place.
Well, you know, condolences to the family of Doris Self and her friends. You know, I guess that's one less gamer in the world. You know, imagine a world if we're all gamers. We live in peace and harmony and only do battle over the internet.
And we would have awesome broadband everywhere. you could go to Siberia and you'd have like 20 billion gigabit broadband, no worries.
Imagine on the porn. Anyway, next...
It'd be heaps.
Next article. Excuse me, I just gotta clear my throat there. Next article is about... Well, titled New E3 Dates and Location Revealed. As we all know, E3 was going to be overhauled after this year's last event. What they planned to do was making it smaller and more intimate by just having developers and high-level media around the world just come in and, you know, demonstrate the games and participate. So... You know, they say to that it's going to be held next year, July 11 to 13 in Santa Monica, California, where a number of hotels and the Barker Hangar will host press conferences, smaller meetings, and gameplay demos. I guess it's not going to be the big shebang that we all, you know, love from all those years ago. I don't know. What do you think, Lee?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a bit sad it's not going to go for the, you know, full extravagance of E3 of yore. But, yeah, well, you know, if this is what they got to do to keep cranking out some good titles, well, you know, if hopefully the slack, as we I think we covered a couple of episodes back, can be picked up by other productions, then, you know, well, it's a bit of a shame that we lost the name, but I think the spirit lives on somewhere else.
Yeah, true. And one thing we're all going to miss is those booth babes. So yeah. big loss to all the teenage boys out there who got their mobile phone cameras and just walking in.
maybe you should just, you know, discover Google Images and that's much easier.
I guess you could be saying true. Okay, now that's it for the articles. And I think we'll go on to the episode topic, which appropriately named by Lee this episode, which is called... Games and money, like love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Very nicely put there, Lee.
I'm a fan of brevity, I am.
Now, okay, since Lee titled it, he can explain what this topic is about.
Oh, crap. Okay. all right, so obviously, if you're a gamer, you got to have some sort of, you know, cash supply because you got to buy new games and new hardware and you got to get the Nintendo Wii when it comes. In fact, you got to buy 3 Nintendo Wiis when it comes out. And, you know, so this is all good, and, you know, so, you know, we're fairly used to this. But now, there's, you know, things like, oh, micropayments, monthly subscriptions, Steam, which is, you know, a good thing. Over here in Australia, we put it bluntly, we get screwed when we buy games. I was looking in a catalogue the other day for a major retail here in this country. And the new Xbox 360 game was $107. $107. I don't have $107. If I had $107, I'd be playing so many more games, but I don't. So, now, not only, I mean, you know, obviously games and money also cost money to make these things, but, you know, as a consumer, I don't like being screwed with. So, I'm not too keen on shelling out all this extra money for about 10, 15, 20 tops hours of entertainment. It just, it starts to become bad value after a while. So, like love and marriage, money and games, they go together, much like the, you know, horse and a carriage. I can't say I'm too chuffed about this new ways to screw me out of my hard-earned money. Now, I'm content with throwing down, you know, 100, even up to $100 for a game. $100, more than likely I'll wait till it's, you know, around 50, but you can screw $100 out of me. Any more than that, you're starting to push it. Now, World of Warcraft, I noticed the other day, is down to $28, which I'm considering buying. But the reason I haven't done yet was because prior I had to pay $90 for it. Okay, $90. I've heard it's good. You know, 4 million people seem to think it's all right, too.
7 million at the moment.
7 million, okay. Yeah. They seem to be breeding. Okay, so there's all these people that say, yeah, this World of Warcraft, good luck, mate. Get into it, World of Warcraft, that's where it's at. But, you know, so $90, and then I've got to cough up 15 US. Is it 15 US a month?
Yeah, 15 US a month.
15 US a month. Now, I don't know what that comes out in Australian pesos. It's probably like 650,000 or something. So I've got to cough up all this money per month. Now, I'm going to, you know, I don't really like paying things on a monthly basis, but, you know, okay, so I got to do that. And I understand their rationale, how, you know, you've got to pay for servers and new content and admin these things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, except I would be much happier to pay my 650,000 Australian pesos a month if I were be able to buy this game for, like, a tenner. You know, if I could get the disc for a $10, $15, that'd be fine. I'd be much, much more willing to pay up per month there. Micropayments, it's my second part of my harebrained rant going on here. Again, the money. Now, if it comes to the stage where I have to shell out $100 for a game and then like another $100 to, you know, get extra stuff or, you know, get a good sword or a nice car or, you know, bling bling or whatever, that's not on. That's forget it. You might as well just write $200 on the DVD case and just sell it to me for that and then I won't buy it. So not too keen on that. Plus, the micropayments, I think, especially in a game like World of Warcraft, even though I've never played it, could lead to a sort of situation where you have the rich people dominating the game. So if you have someone, and you know, he's you know, just everyday grafter, and he's, you know, making a bit of money, and, you know, plays a bit of WoW on the side, you know, he gets the items, he gets the stuff in the game, the way the game plays. You know, you got to do instances, is it?
Yep.
So you got to do that stuff. Fine. All right. That's cool for him. But, you know, you got some other guy. He doesn't want to do that. He don't want to screw around grinding 20 hours to level up or whatever. So, you know, he just plunks down an extra $20. Oh, you know, you're level 60 now. So now, you know, I just don't like that. I don't like the sort of the class nature of that, how the people with money then get to do all the cool stuff in games. That just seems wrong to me. But games and money. You've mentioned Steam here, which is good. Any way which gets games to me, you know, less than $100, just screwing me out of my money like that, I've got to say is cool. Online distribution is going to be great for the future. I believe DEF CON is, you can get that through Steam, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, DEF CON's on Steam. That's awesome. I think that's like maybe 10 US bucks.
Awesome. I can see this online distribution becoming the new way of the future where you can get a game for, you know, very little. Maybe pay a monthly subscription, maybe not. But I can also see independence, Introversion to make DEF CON?
Yeah.
I can see them making good use of this in the future as it gives them a chance to, get the game out, not have to cough up huge money for print runs of manuals and boxes and get it shipped out to every part of the globe and release schedules and all that stuff. I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, that's pretty much all I got to say, and my mouth's going dry, and I think my brain's going to run out of things to feed my mouth, so, you know, you got anything to say on it?
Yeah, I'll take over, yeah. Yeah, I put Steam in the topic. Yeah, is that at the moment, I believe Steam is, you know, probably the forerunner, the leader when it comes to online distribution of games. They've got heaps of games. At the moment, I'm just taking a quick look at their website. If I just find the right page, I'm not sure where I am. But they got new games as well. Like, they just recently acquired Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2, and what else do you think? They got like some racing game. They're also going to get the new Dark Messiah, Might and Magic game. They also got Psychonauts, one of those old platform games. Now they're getting games from, you know, a lot of different publishers and making it now part of Steam, where you, you know, for a fee, you can basically get the game for a bit cheaper prices than having to go to the shops and buy it, and you can download it over the internet. Now, this is good if you got broadband, which, as we know, especially in America, they get, you know, up to amazingly fast speeds, where, you know, basically 1.5 megabit is slow up there, but down here 1.5 megabit is, you know, probably fast down here. So if you got the speed, yeah, you can you know, get the game in a couple of hours. Now, for example, EA as well, they've released their version of online distribution, which is called EA Downloader. And I think they just released Battlefield 2142. And the thing is like 2 gigabytes. So for those who got fast internet, they can get it down in a couple of hours. But for me, for example, like I'm only on like half a megabit speed, I think that would take maybe around 12, 15 hours to get. So, you know, it's, you know, as long as broadband is there and there's people willing to make use of this online distribution, I think it is the way to go. And also, as Lee pointed out, prices of games in Australia is shocking. I just went to a local game shop, I won't name it for legal reasons, and they were having Battlefield 2142 was retail price, get a load of this, $110. Now, I'm not sure what that translates to in American dollars, but that's more, way more than the $50 that the same game is being charged on EA Downloader. So, you know, for those Australians out there who want Battlefield 2142, I'd recommend using EA Downloader, because the conversion rate would turn out to be about 67 Australian dollars. So you're saving yourself about, you know, over 50 bucks. Not, you know, about 50 bucks or so, I guess. You know, under 50 bucks, right? And, you know, that difference in price, I don't think that justifies, you know, maybe the shipping, the importing, the transporting, and the labeling, the boxing. I don't think it really justifies that much of a difference. So
that translates into like 3 extra games a year.
I know, but it's like, it's the price of games here is, you know, it's unbearable. You like you talk to anyone in America and you tell them the price of games, and you know they'll have a laugh at you, or they'll understand, you know, why video game piracy exists. Online distribution, I think it will be the way to go in the future. Steam are doing an excellent job, because they've got the friends list, how, you know, you can put your friends on the same list. You can see, like, what games they're playing in the moment. You can chat to them. You can, I think, play mini games with them or something like that. I'm not sure exactly, because I don't use Steam myself. But, you know, if EA want to, you know, be part of the online distribution, they should have a good look at Steam and try and follow that. Well, not follow it, but, you know, do something similar along the lines, because internet, you know, it's wherever you go, the coverage of broadband is getting, you know, bigger and bigger, and is also getting faster over time. So, you know, you can get these games, you know, relatively quicker, you know, than going out to the store to buy it and come back. So
That's an interesting point. So you said it'll take you like half a day to download a game, like 12 hours or something, right?
Yeah, it's about speed you got, you know, like at my speed, that I only got like 512, which is, you know, 512 kilobytes. So that's take about, you know, 12, 15 hours, you know, depending on if I get full speed or not. But,
here's a question. 12 hours, okay, so obviously you have to miss out partially on the sort of impulse buy. You can't just be at the shop and go, I'll buy that now, and go home and play it, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So you got to sort of plan ahead of you. Does the saving of, well, like $50 or whatever it is, does that make the 12-hour wait, you know, that much easier to swallow?
Absolutely, especially when you can just leave it overnight while you're sleeping. So, you know, say like you sleep 8 hours, you know, mm-hmm. that's over half of the download completed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can also leave it on if you've got schooling or you've got work to go to. You know, mm-hmm. it's basically, you know, you can, for less than a day, you know, less than 24 hours, you can save yourself $50. And the only thing you want to miss out is probably the manual and the boxing. But the thing is that the manual get electronic form mostly in new games these days.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
And the box, well, the boxing or games in Australia nowadays, you don't get a big box. You just get like the DVD case.
Yeah.
And that's nothing special, just like just the logo and stuff. But you're not blaming the game companies themselves because they sell it at the standard price, no matter if you buy it over the internet or through a box. It's just the other companies that want to make money, like the shipping, the importing, the pricing and all that stuff. So I guess they have the right to make money for themselves, but down here, the price of games is so shocking, you know, you don't blame why people look to other ways of getting the games.
Yes.
So I guess that's...
8 days that involve September the 19th kind of thing. Yeah.
You and your talk like a pirate name.
You keelhauled landlubber.
Yeah, so I guess if you want to say about this topic is that both Lee and I, we agree with online distributions. The idea of micropayments or having to pay to get new content, we're not so keen about. The other idea about how rich people can advance further than other people. I think you're talking about World of Warcraft. It's more like in World of Warcraft, you can't pay like Blizzard to give you a better stuff. It's like more than likely you pay an illegal farming company, I guess they are a company that you know, you can give them your details and they will do the work for you while you're, you know, sleeping or out to work or whatever. But the thing is that you pay them money and you expect them to, you know, give you all this good loot and money and, you know, in the game. But the thing is that you've heard stories how once they have your details, they put in a key logger onto your system, you know, by, you know, whatever, how they do it. And at the same time, if they want to get your character, they'll sell all the items that they have for gold, or they'll make enchantments out of it, and they'll just try and you basically, they basically scam you out of your own character, so you lose your character and you probably even lose your good name in the game.
Caveat emptor. There you go.
So I guess the good thing is that online distribution, it is the way to go. Just hope that the internet becomes faster down here.
Yep.
And I think that's it for our episode topic. Okay, now we move on to our next part of this episode, which is called "What Are We Playing?"
You know, people bail me up in the street and they go, "Lee, I heard your podcast. Heard you on that podcast. Good, it's good. What are you playing right now?" This is what everyone's tuning into. This section right here is where it's at.
No, this is the best thing they know for the episode as well.
Oh, I'm on the bus. I'm just getting hassled all the time now.
What? And anyone, like old grandmas and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the bus driver's like, I'm not driving this bus nowhere until you tell me where you're playing right now. So I'm always having to tell people, you know. So for all those people out there, here it is.
Yep, go for it, Emma. Okay, personally, what I'm playing at the moment, well, I got my hands onto a copy of Battlefield 2142. All you guys out there have probably heard from me droning on about this for months or however long we've been talking about, how I was part of the demo, I got into the open beta, and let me just say, it was worth the wait, I guess, finally. You know, I played Battlefield 2 and I loved that game so much that 2142 was such a great, I guess, sequel in a way with new and improved things. You know, you got the new upgrades where everything is, you know, you don't just get one weapon per class anymore. It's like you can get 40 unlocks all over the board, across the board. So you can get like a couple of new weapons for each class, new abilities. You know, the list goes on and on. And, you know, since it's set in the future, you get futuristic weapons. You know, nothing Star Wars-like with lasers and all those kind of things. But, you know, you get tanks that hover off the ground. You get, like, flying airships, transport ships as well. And I don't know what to say, but just unbelievable fun. I've played maybe, I think, total 4 hours so far. And all of it was enjoyment, you know. Driving around different vehicles, helping teammates accomplish goals, and you know, it's such a great team game that you know, I guess I was happy in a way that I finally got it. What else am I playing? I reinstalled Need for Speed Underground 2. As we all know, the next Need for Speed game will be coming out soon, the Need for Speed Carbon, and I thought, you know, I might as well just brush up on my mad driving skills to get into the swing of things. And yeah, I'm having fun with Underground 2. I like the, I don't know, I just preferred it a bit more to Most Wanted, I guess, because this time when you tune your cars up, there's a bit more options to do so, and I'm not sure what exactly to say. But when Carbon comes out, you know, I'm sure I'll try the demo for sure and I'll see if it's worth the purchase. But, you know, probably considering the price, I might not. Those 2 games is what I've been predominantly playing. Now, okay, Lee, I'm sure everyone out there is waiting to hear what you've got to say. You know, they're on the edge of their seat listening right now, so you better give them the 411 or whatever the term is.
411.
Yeah, go ahead and tell them what they got.
It's been a big week game-wise. It's been a big week. Cracked out Beautiful Joe. Played a few more levels on that. It's been a while since I played that. That was good. I'm advancing slowly but surely through Grand Theft Auto 3. Trying again, Holy Grail, 100% completion. Just found the last unique jump. Finished all the rampages. Got like 13 missions to go, and she's done.
Awesome.
Even better. I got 100% completion in New Super Mario Brothers.
Congratulations, mate. You joined an exclusive club.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm reaping the benefits already.
Oh, yeah.
Been playing a bit of DEF CON, got to say. Still liking DEF CON. Now, I actually managed to win, amazingly
enough. Oh, my God, you won?
Yeah. I was playing Europe, so, you know, had a huge advantage. But
yeah.
That was good. Yeah, so that's been the week of gaming for me.
Oh, so you heard it, your first people, you know, whatever Scloz has been playing, he just mentioned it. If you just tuned in, missed out. But the good thing about a podcast, you can rewind back to about a minute ago and listen to what he had to say.
And then when you get bored, you can rewind it, you can hear it again. And again. We can make episode 9, we could just record what we're playing and just loop it over for 40 minutes.
Oh, bargain. But I don't think you'll do that, you know.
No.
We'll probably lose, you know, a majority of our listeners, so we'll probably lose, you know, 4 people.
8.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Okay, now that's it for what we're playing, and we'll go on to our next part of the episode where we give a shout-out. Well, not a shout-out, but we mentioned about one website, and we call it Website of the Show. Now, this website I just found recently is called the Entertainment Consumers Association, and what basically it is that the ECA was formed just recently this year, and it is an organization for consumers of interactive entertainment. I'm just reading off the website here, and it just says, gamers represent nearly 50% of the U.S. population and spend $10 billion annually on gaming, yet as a group are continually overlooked by both politicians and the mainstream press. The mission of the ECA is to give game consumers a voice and to ensure that elected officials hear their concerns and appreciate the growing influence of the gamer demographic.
Yes.
Now, I'm just saying this is, you know, like a representation of all the gamers and the ideas. I just hope they go the right way and, you know, do what most gamers would appreciate that are doing. And I'm thinking, you know, if they get the job done, the more power to them. And finally, we get to be heard. You know, there's a voice out there that hears us in the political side of things. You got anything to say about this, Lee?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Fantastic. I mean, you know, like you said, 50%, that's almost that. Within a couple of weeks, there's going to be 300 million people in the United States.
That's already done, man.
It's already done?
That was like last Tuesday.
Okay.
They hit 300 million on the dot.
All right, well, the 150 million people, that's like 4 Australians more. That's a lot of Australians. That's so many Australians, I can't even add that up. I'm stupid. But that is a lot of people basically saying, you know, we play games and we're sick of this rubbish. So, you know, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, if Congress is getting their main information from Jack, I'm a moron, Thompson, about video games, you know, a balancing voice is surely what is needed. And this is just going to be a huge benefit to gamers, not only in the United States, but, you know, seeing as though that's where most of the publishing and development houses are, the effects of this are going to be seen and felt throughout the world. My only wish is that there could be some sort of Australian branch where we could get an R18 rating for games, because that is just ludicrous that we don't have that.
That's true, man. Like, you see movies, they got R18, and the stuff they show in movies is probably more, I guess, violent and more gruesome in a way than what you'll probably ever see in games at the moment. But
What is the average age of a gamer? Isn't it like 25 or something? 31 or so? It's more than 18. There is demand there.
I know, it's like a... I don't know, just shocking the Australian government. Anything to do with fun, I think they just want to throw out the window. You know, the gaming side of things is a shocking over on this side.
Yeah.
And the broadband side of things is shocking as well. So, any Americans out there, I'm sure you feel a bit lucky that you're not living in the land down under.
In the lucky country.
Sure, mate. But the thing is that, you know, we got slow broadband and the gaming side of things is a joke, and the pricing is a joke too, that you probably wish you never came here in the first place. But back to this website.
Yeah.
I think only opened up a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, something like that. But, it's got potential. If anybody out there wants to go to the website, we're going to post it up as well on our own website. You can become a member, I think.
Mm-hmm. If you're living in the United States, you got $20 burning a hole in your pocket, you want to get involved in the democratic process, here's your cause.
Yep, that's a definitely good thing. And, of course, I think they said you can win something. They said you can win a PlayStation 3 if you, I'm not sure what it is, if you become a member or something like that. So, PlayStation 3, for those out there who want to win it, go for it in your head. I'm not joining, so, I can't say much about it. But, I hope this group do get onto the ball and live long throughout whatever they're trying to do, become a good spokesman for the gamers out there, not just for America. Hopefully, we can see like something like this become in Australia one day, but with things in Australia, even though we lead the dateline in the time zone, we're kind of a couple of years behind when it comes to these things. So
yeah, well,
yeah, it's true. But we'll keep you up to date on all this stuff.
Good on you, ECA. Keep it cranking, mate.
And I think with that, we'll try to wrap up the show. So for those out there who maybe got this podcast through different methods instead of downloading it, I guess that's nice of you to get off your friend or wherever, but if you don't know...
Sort of on CNN or something?
I don't know. You're probably talking to Sklodz on the bus, so that's how you found out about how something like this. But if you want to know where this podcast is from, the website is videogamingisgood.podomatic.com. Please visit the site, just to take a quick gander. You can have a look at the two ugliest guys on the internet making a podcast. Leave comments and maybe any questions you want. If you got anything to say about our episode topic, which is about games and money, like love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Thank you very much, Lee.
No worries.
Yep, if you've got anything to say about that or any other things you want us to talk about next time, please do so. You can just leave comments there for every episode. What else is there we want to talk about?
Well, I've got an idea.
Go for it.
We asked Chris Judd 3 last time for his input. I wonder if with his squillions he's made playing football, what his views are on micropayments and online distribution and the price of games in this country.
Oh, cool. So, Chris Jathri, you're probably a busy person out there, so, playing football, having just won the premiership, you're probably, kicking it back a few beers or whatever, but, if you got anything to say, please do so. We appreciate hearing from you. But at least we know we got one consistent listener, I guess.
Yep.
What else do you want to say? I'm trying to think. I'm not sure what to say myself. Expect to see this in the next episode in 2 weeks, or is...
Whoa.
What's the line that I have conjured up with is a fort week. So, thanks very much for that, Lee. So, for those who just joining in, we'd like to point out that the term fort week, I made by mistake, I was supposed to say fortnight, but apparently they mean the same thing. So we hope to bring it out around that time. More than likely it will be delayed for unknown reasons. I see in the future, unless I get food poisoning, I don't know, something else might happen. Maybe my computer explodes. You never know. That could happen. So we'll probably be delayed anyway due to personal reasons once again. Anything you want to say, Lee?
No.
Okay.
Good.
You're good? Okay, well, we hope you enjoy listening to us. Thanks for listening to us. Hope you enjoy your gaming out there. And That's about it. So this is Darren, a.k.a. Emo, and...
Lee, a.k.a. Sklozza.
Yes, and we're wishing you the best until we talk to you next time. Or until we just talk to ourselves next time and you wish to listen in on us. So have a good one, and we'll catch you later.
Leroy Jenkins.